this bank story reminded me of another one, another experience that I had. That was wonderful. The Pennsylvania Bankers Association was going to meet the next week in Atlantic City. And Frank Luckenbaugh, who was in the bank with me, my cousin, I suggested to him that we go down to my niece, Miriam Butler, at Short Hill, New Jersey, and Miriam would drive us down on Tuesday banker convention. So they both agreed, and we went down, spent Sunday there. Then on Tuesday morning, we started down to Atlantic City. And on the way down, I said to Miriam, I said, Miriam, let's drive into John Allaire's place. I bought a good many banks from him, and it was just a few miles off of the direct route, and so we did. And we got there, and I said, hello, John, do you have any banks for me now? He said, no, Mr. Meyer, I don't have any banks at all right now. But I said, I had a funny experience here the other day. I got a letter from a man over in Pottstown that said he had a Freedman's Bank. And he said, you know, there isn't anything like that. There's only two of them known, and surely he doesn't have one. He said he wrote me this letter, and I have it around somewhere. I don't know just where it is. I said, John, for goodness sake, look that up. He said, I wrote to him, but I haven't heard from him. He didn't answer my letter. And he said, well, wait, I'll look around. So he hunted around and found this letter from a young teacher over at the Hill School in Pottstown, saying that he had this bank and wanted to sell it. And he heard that I collected, got penny banks to sale, for sale. So there it is. So we left then and went on to Atlantic City. And it was raining to beat the band. Oh, it was an awful day. And as we got down, driving along there, Miriam every once in a while said, well, John, it might be worthwhile to drive over to Pottstown. I said, oh, Miriam, no. I said, you heard John Allaire say about this bank. There just isn't a bank like that around here. And so we kept talking about it. And we got down to Atlantic City, up the Traymore Hotel. Frank and Millard went in registered, and I went in and canceled my reservation. I came out, and she said, aren't you going to stay here? I said, no, we're going to Pottstown. So she laughed, and so we turn around and start for Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Well, it was rain to beat band. We got up there, and I knew that this man, as I said, taught in the Hill School there. So I met some boys on the street, and they were evidently students of Hill School, and I said, do you know where Mr. Jacobson lives? And they said, right down the end of that row of houses. Well, we drove there. And I got out and went in, rapped on the door, and an elderly gentleman came there, and I talked to him very nicely, and he, of course, invited me in. We sat there and talked about everything. He was from New England, and very nice gentleman, and he said he'd been teaching here at Hill School for, a number of years, and he was going to retire next year and go back to New England and enjoy the rest of his life in leisure. So pretty soon a dog came in, one of these long, shaggy-haired dogs, and I don't like them anyhow. And it was wet, and as I say, this dog was just covered with wet. And he came in, and he jumped up with his front paws on my knee, and you know, and I patted him. I said, oh, this is a nice dog. I like him. And this gentleman said, yes, we're very fond of him. We've had him so long in our family, and he's just one of us. And then he got down off my knees and stood right in front of me and just shook himself all over, and I got splashed all to pieces with this wet from this long, shaggy-haired dog. Well, I said to him then, I was leading up to this, of course, and I said, you have a bank here, haven't you? And he said, a bank? He said, no, I have no bank here. I said, didn't you write a letter to John Allaire? And he said, no. Well, I said, aren't you Mr. Jacobson? And he said, no, he lives down the other end of this row. I said, oh, excuse me. And so I went out and I said to him, we're in the wrong place. We drove down there, just a few doors, really. And I went in and went up the door and rapped. And the young man came to the door then. And I said, are you Mr. James? And I thought I'd make sure this time. And he said, yes. I said, you have a bank here that you wrote to John Allaire about, didn't you? And he said, yes. He says, I have a bank. My father gave it to me when I was up home up near Boston last year. He got it out of an old desk that was left in the house next door to him. Some banker used to live there, and this big desk was so cumbersome, and they couldn't dispose of it in any way, and they left down the cellar. And my father, who was an electrical engineer or something like that, and they asked him if he wouldn't look down at his at their furnace in the cellar. And then he did. They had an oil burner there, and he fixed up just a few minor changes. And then they said, "Don't you want a desk there?" He said, "We've had this desk in our basement here for so many years, and we'd like to get rid of it." And he said, "Well, I might." And so he did, and they came in the next day and took the desk over to home, and he opened up the drawers and found this bank in there with a lot of other old stuff. And so then when I was up there last year at Christmas time, he gave it to me. But he says, "I might as well sell it now because my youngsters are 10, 12 years old, and I'm just afraid they'll just play with it and break it up." And I said, "Well, could I see it?" And he said, "Sure." He went out the next room, brought this penny bank in, sat there on the table in front of him. My gosh, I never had anything thrill me so as seeing that bank. My old heart never thumped like it did. No girl ever made it thump like that bank made, because I was just carried away. There was one of the rarest banks in the world. There were only two of them, as I said before, in existence. And I talked to him quite a while, and I just didn't know what he might ask for it. And I had some money along, and I ran out to the car, and I said to Miriam, "Miriam, do you have any money with you?" And she said, "Yes." So I walked back, and I said, "Well, how much would you want for this bank?" He says, "Well, I understand it's a pretty good bank." And said, I think I ought to have $75 for it." And that's funny, because that's the same price the man asked me for the baby elephant bank. And I said, "Well, you know, you don't seem too anxious on these things." And I said, "Well, that's a pretty good price, but I believe I'll take it." I could hardly wait. So I reached my pocket and counted out the $75 and laid it down, and I took the bank. And there I had the rarest bank in the world. And I went out to Miriam. She said I had the funniest expression on the face that she ever saw on my face, just happy and joyous. So she said, "Well, we'll go back to Atlantic City." I said, "No, Miriam, I'm not going back to the bankers' convention. I'm going home." And I asked somebody where the Reading station was, and I went over there, and I said, "When's the next train go to Harrisburg? Then I could catch the Pennsylvania on back to Tyrone." He said, "Well, ought to be a train here in about a half hour." I said, "Oh, that's fine." And I said, "Where's the telegraph station?" He said, "Just around the corner on the other side of the building here." So I went around there and I telegraphed Frank. I said, "I'm not coming to the bankers' convention. Have the rarest bank in the world."